learning more about the ministry up in Ontario with the Spanish ministry going on there. I'm going to have a newsletter, God willing, coming out this week that will have some of the pictures. I have a little PowerPoint here to keep me on track as far as letting you know what's going on. And the pictures connected to what I'm saying here will hopefully be before you in your email sometime this week. So it's a joy to serve Ontario URC with Pastor Taylor Kern and the Spanish ministry, El Mesías. We meet every Lord's Day in English and in Spanish. So we have our English service at 10 a.m. and then the Spanish service is at 11:30. And then we have a midweek Spanish Bible study. Right now, it's a catechism class. We're going through the three forms of unity. Pastor Kern usually has at least, I would say, 2 to 3 people that are kind of in the process of church membership. And he's usually walking through the three forms of unity with them. And so my role there as well is we're both pastors of Ontario URC in the English and Spanish. But Pastor Kern primarily does the Spanish because my Spanish is not at the level of ministry yet. And so Taylor has been bearing that load for over 10 years now as far as carrying the load there in the Spanish ministry. And by God's grace, we've seen real blessing, especially this past year. It's a faithful group that's there every Sunday and after service as well, worshiping together of about 20 to 25 souls, depending on the day. And just 2 weeks ago, we had a profession of faith from a dear brother named Camilo. He was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, but didn't come to a Protestant church until later on in his life. And Pastor Kern has been discipling him for about 8 months, and he has gone through the discipleship process, gone through the membership class, and he made public profession of faith just 2 weeks ago. So pray for this man. His name's Camilo. He's a young adult. He's working. He's single. He hopes to be married to a Christian woman and to have a family. And it's a blessing to see him growing so much in the Lord. He's kind of like a young baby in the faith. And so we love Camilo, and we're thankful to see his profession of faith just a couple weeks ago. On that same Sunday, we had a woman named Karen, and she reaffirmed her faith with us. She's a strong believer, but came to the Reformed Church with us about the same time Camilo did, about 8 months ago. And she is a very theologically sound woman. She's always asking great questions, both on the Lord's Day, and also we have a text thread with our Spanish ministry, and she's always asking great questions about the Lord, sharing good resources. And so she reaffirmed her faith in our presence 2 weeks ago, the same day that Camilo made profession of faith. And so that was a real joy. And about 6 months ago, I'm not sure if I had shared with you these updates, but about 6 months ago, we had a young man who was raised in the Reformed Church who made profession of faith. His name was Abraham. He is the brother-in-law of Pastor Kern. So Pastor Kern's family, his wife's family, has been part of our Spanish ministry for a long time. But some of them haven't become actual members of the church yet for various reasons. But Abraham, this young man, is now a part of the church in full communion. It was wonderful to hear his testimony. He tried his hand at playing professional soccer in Mexico, and the Lord shut some doors, and he was wrestling kind of with a crisis of, you know, meaning, what does the Lord want from me in life? And really kind of solidified his faith in his kind of college years, in his time when he was trying to pursue soccer. And Abraham's been a real blessing. He's been bringing different people to the Spanish ministry and to our English ministry that he's been witnessing to in his life. And so really thankful for Abraham and how the Lord has brought him to us as well in the past 6 months. There's another gentleman as well who's been part of our midst for a little while. Well, let me share first some of the other things before I get too ahead of myself. So we have the Lord's Day services on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. right after our English, and we have our midweek Bible study or catechism classes. Pastor Kern was doing as well for a little while a ministry through Food for Life, which is in Chino, just the city right next to ours. And he was leading a Bible study there in Spanish for people who were coming out to grab food. And it was a tough ministry because it had been going on for a little while as far as the Bible study, but then had kind of fallen off for a time. So Pastor Kern was trying to kind of revitalize that and get it going. And so there were some people that came out early on, but it was a little bit more difficult to continue with it because, after they get the food, there's a bit of about 40-minute break between the food and the Bible study, and not many people were hanging out that long. So, he stopped doing that just about a month ago, but was doing some good work in that for a few months. But on the other side, our church just started a food bank ministry about 4 months ago called Loaves and Fishes. It's just once a month in our church. We have people from our church bring food, and we prepare boxes for the needy in our community. We put up a sign-up sheet online, usually on one of the community groups on Facebook, and people could sign up until all the boxes are spoken for, and then they come out on a Saturday, and we give them food, and we pray for them, the people that are coming out to grab some food. So it's a real humble work. We only prepare 10 boxes. I mean, they're pretty good-sized boxes, but we get to meet 10 different image bearers or their families at the end of the month when they come for food, and some of those are Spanish speakers as well. So we usually try to put some flyers in the boxes with our church services and some of our ministries, pray for the families that are there. It's all on our church property. So that just began about, 4 or 5 months ago, Loaves and Fishes. So pray for that. That's a ministry that we feel like is meeting a real felt need in our community, and also an opportunity just to invite people to church and begin praying with people, getting to know people. One aspect for my own ministry that's been kind of helping me a little bit too with growing my Spanish is I've been serving with an organization called Marketplace Chaplains for about 5 months now. They're a chaplain agency that puts ministers in different workplace settings. So I'm in food distribution centers and trucking yards and insurance agencies. And my goal is to just share the love of Christ in the workplace with different people who are there. And so it's a wonderful ministry, actually, just to get to know people in the community. But there's also, especially in some of the places I visit, in the trucking yards and the food distribution centers, Spanish speakers that I try to stumble along with as I talk with them. And I usually, try to flag them down. Hey, teach me 3 words today in Spanish, and try to build a connection with them. And but it's been a blessing just being a part of the community in that way, and trying to work in my own ministry and evangelism, but also alongside that, helping me to try to be more comfortable with conversing with people in Spanish. So you could pray for me. Again, Pastor Kern primarily does the Spanish ministry because his Spanish is fluent, and he's very capable in preaching, teaching, catechizing people in Spanish. And I'm usually just there in our Spanish service if I'm not teaching Sunday school, as a bit of a fly on the wall, or in the Bible studies, just taking notes and trying to follow along in my Bible and learning. I'll share this request because it's connected with that. But this summer, God willing, I'll be going on a sabbatical for 6 weeks. And 4 of the weeks, Lord willing, will be in Mexico, probably either in Tijuana or somewhere a little bit closer to the border. And the goal is to take some Spanish classes there on the ground there in Mexico, and live there for a majority of the week, and just kind of jump into the water and pray the Lord will loosen my tongue. So pray for me for that. And plan to be there with my family, and trying to have more of an immersive learning experience. Part of my pastoral rhythm is there's some Spanish exposure, but it's very little given how much I kind of carry on the English side, as Pastor Kern carries on the Spanish. So our consistory, granted the blessing of being able to have kind of this built-in ability to get immersed for a little while. And we're trying to think through how to develop more rhythms like that in the ministry to help kind of grow that aspect of my ministry so that I could serve the English and the Spanish in the long term more faithfully. So please do pray for me in that. We have a young woman as well who is now on our staff part-time. She actually comes from the church that I served in Canada. Her name's Melissa Jonkman. She is a real blessing to our Spanish ministry and our English. But her heart's desire, she just graduated from Bible college, and her heart's desire has always been to do missions. She had spent some time in Ecuador and was hoping to be like a missions helper in some setting overseas. She has a real heart for counseling other women and different crisis and discipling other women. And but those doors kind of got shut as she was finishing some of her Bible college. And she had come out to actually lead a youth camp with some youth from Canada at our church a few years ago, and we had a really nice connection. And in God's providence, doors did open up for her to come and serve us part-time as a pastoral assistant, and also as a helper to our ministries that are going on there. And so she's been really helpful in planning different events in the church. She helped plan recently a garage sale that we did as a church, the front lawn, where we got to pass out Bibles and tracts and things in Spanish and have a garage sale that fundraised for our church ministries. And she's working on different events to connect with outreach. Her name's Melissa. Melissa Jonkman. She's been a real blessing. She lives with the Kern family, and the churches in Canada where she came from kind of support her coming out here in that way. So that's been a real blessing to us. We don't have a secretary or anyone like that kind of on staff before, and she has those gifts, those administrative skills, as well as a real heart for discipleship. And so she's been an incredible blessing. We meet with her on Tuesdays to kind of go over our weeks together with her and to encourage her in what she's doing. And she serves us really well with a lot of the kind of the behind the scenes things as well that keeps the church going. So really thankful for her. Pastor Kern's father-in-law, so his wife Ariana's dad, he got into a really bad car accident about 9 months ago. And very critical, and he was not doing well. He was part of our Spanish ministry for a long time, and he's doing well now. He's finally back at work, and he's in rehab for his leg, and he's doing really well. His name's Huberto, and now he's been back at church for the past couple of months as well. But he was providentially hindered from that being with us for a good long time. But he's back now, which is a real blessing. Just a couple of challenges to the ministry, just for your prayer, with especially the new election. There's been a number of people that have really been scared about what things are going to mean for them as far as their status. With any kind of Spanish ministry, there's always going to be part of our discipleship with people where we're helping them to honor the Lord by honoring the laws that God puts on the land. But for some situations, it's very complex. We have one woman who's been with us for about 3 months. She's not a member. She's been a real faithful visitor with her son, but she's fleeing kind of an abusive situation in Mexico and is fearful if she has to go back because of what that might mean if she has to be put back in a context like that. We have a couple of others that are, one of them is kind of making some real hasty decisions because of the immigration, things that are going on to try to get legal status here. And so I do pray for us in wisdom and discipling our people well, helping them to trust in the Lord and his providence, and also to help them to be faithful in what it means to be disciples of the Lord and honoring the laws that the country has. But pray for wisdom for us as leaders. We're not immigration experts or anything. We're pastors. So we're trying to bring the word of God to them, and what it calls us to is living as faithful citizens. So just pray for wisdom as we do that, and especially shepherd some in our flock who are a little bit more fearful in this time as well. Again, I ask just for your prayers for my Spanish sabbatical and for being able to grow in that way. And ask for your prayers on just wisdom on how to do ministry with our English and Spanish together. One exciting thing is this Friday, for all of our special services, so the services that aren't on the Lord's Day, like Good Friday this Friday, and we also do Christmas Day and New Year's. For all of our special services, we've decided to do those bilingual services. So there's services will bring both congregations together and have a bilingual liturgy. I think the only thing that won't be fully bilingual is the preaching. I think we'll have it printed out in a particular language and preached in one language, but the rest of it will be bilingual. We'll go back and forth a little bit with the songs that we sing in English and in Spanish, try to pick familiar psalms and hymns that both congregations know so that when we're singing in the different tongue, we could follow along a little bit. We've done it a couple of times, and it was received well. We were told don't do that every Sunday, but people did enjoy trying to grow in that way, and it really was a beautiful expression of the oneness that we do believe we have in Christ. So it was a blessing, but we're going to do that this Friday, Good Friday, and Lord willing in the future for our special services. So we have different events that we're planning where we try to bring our English and Spanish together. Even just this morning, we have a good Palm Sunday potluck that's also meant to bring our Spanish and English together. And we try to do those types of things so we can rub shoulders with one another. And we're not just kind of, retreating from one another in our separate rooms of worship, but truly living out this integrated model of worship that we have as a church. But that's not always easy. So pray for us and wisdom and knowing how to do that well. I'm trying to think if there's any other highlights that I want to bring before you. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer any questions or thoughts that you have. Yeah, Adrian.
How many Spanish-speaking members do you have?
In the Spanish ministry or in the church as a whole?
I guess.
In our English ministry, there are some who are bilingual but who worship primarily in the English service. But in our Spanish ministry itself, there's 22 members, and about 25 in attendance. on a kind of a fuller Sunday morning. But in the English service too, we have a good chunk of people, I'd say probably maybe 20% who are able to speak Spanish and English. Yeah. Yeah, the church has been through unique, unique seasons where, you know, primarily back in the day we were a Dutch Reformed congregation, but a lot of those who had, especially the Dairies in that area, had moved away. And yeah, the church has really, shifted and changed. It looks definitely like the city of Ontario, which has a lot of bilingual speakers there. Yeah. Any other thoughts or questions?
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious. So LSCS is not a separate church. It is a ministry of Ontario URC, right?
That's correct, yes.
And so is this is kind of a wonky question, but is the budget for LSCS part of the general budget for Ontario, or is it completely separate books?
That's a great question. Yeah, so back in the day, LSCS used to be its own church, where they were trying to develop at that time its own elders, pastors, consistory council. But it shifted as it was kind of dwindling a little bit back in the day to becoming more of an organic branch of the church. It's similar to, I put it like it's similar to if the Lord planted a church, Reformed church, right next to a college campus. And it had like a robust college ministry alongside of what it was doing in the Means of Grace ministry. It'd be kind of similar to that, where the Spanish ministry is kind of like an organic branch of the ministry of Ontario URC. And so it's our heart is to have an integrated model of worship where, it's not just its own church that kind of, rents our building or does its thing within our walls without, our connection to them in a meaningful way, but that together we're under the same mission statement, three forms of unity, all of that. And so it is under our budget, but we do have to divide it up in regards to our Ontario URC budget, LMCS budget, as far as some of the items, because it's a little bit complicated, but because we have support that comes to us from Canada, they require with the joint venture account that we have a fund that can't get touched at all by the English, that it has to be for that specific area of ministry. So we do kind of have a budget side by side, our English, that has those funds that come in that are dedicated only for that, so it doesn't get blended at all to the English. So the key items that are kind of under the Spanish budget there are, the salary for a pastor, evangelism, outreach, and those types of items that are connected with the ministry of LMCS. And so that doesn't get bled over to the English in that way. But it's all overseen by the Consistory and Council of Ontario URC as a whole. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have
a question. Yes.
You mentioned the workplace chaplaincy program. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's based out of Texas, as far as the chaplaincy agency, and they got chaplains in the U.S. and Canada. And basically, a company, if they think it would be a benefit to their employees, they pay for the service for having a chaplain on site. Some companies call them care partners, depending on the terminology they want to use. But they pretty much pay for usually a minister. Not all of them are ministers, the chaplains who are there, but most of them are laboring in a church setting. They pay for them to be able to go to their company, so it's free of charge for the employees to have conversations about the things that they don't want to talk about with HR or other things. It's confidential. It's voluntary. No one has to talk with us. We're available 24/7 as far as them being able to reach out to us and call. We have a little chaplain app that they could use, my chap app. It's kind of fun. And they could reach out. And because of Marketplace Chaplains, just last week I was with a man who's on hospice, young father, his son was there, who's my daughter's age, 10 years old. And I didn't know anything about this man because they're a brand new company, but they ask, can you send a chaplain, because we have one of our employees who's kind of end of life. So I was there, sharing the gospel with him. He was awake a little bit. 2 weeks ago, I did a celebration of life service for a Roman Catholic family who asked, would you come to our house? We're going to have people in our backyard doing a celebration of life, and could you lead it in some meaningful way? So they gave me the freedom to do that. It's a little bit interesting because they when I go there as far as a chaplain, I am representing Marketplace Chaplains. I'm not representing my church first and foremost. But because they recognize you're a pastor, they know that, like, if you have resources, if you want to invite them to services, you're able to do that. You just can't go undercover through the chaplain thing just to promote your own ministry, right? So you're there to serve the people through the care team or the chaplain partners that they have there. But yeah, we're every week, it's just a couple of hours a week in different places. They plug you into different places, the same ones, so you build those relationships. And it's been a real blessing. It's been a real blessing to the ministry. Getting to know people in the community. They keep you within a 15-minute radius of your church because they want you to be local, which is good. So that's nice, too, where you could recommend, even our place of worship because we're close by, further counseling. So, it's been a real blessing. I had never heard of it until about 8 months ago when a friend who's in the Reformed Church actually in Montana said, I've been serving with this. If I got any pastor friends who are interested in something like this, check out this agency. And, it was actually a time where we were struggling a little bit financially as a church with the Spanish ministry. And so I was trying to think a little bit, how can I serve the Lord with my gifts, but maybe relieve some of that a little bit as well. And so this, I pursued this, and it's been great. It's been great. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the questions. Any other questions or thoughts? So I just had a cup of coffee, so I feel like I was talking fast to you guys. Hopefully you're able to catch some of the gist of it. But thank you for your prayers and for your encouragement. And again, I do hope to send out a newsletter this upcoming week. We send them out seasonally, so it'll be our spring one. And there'll be literally quite a bit in there as far as updates and pictures and prayer requests. So please do read those things and pray for us. We're always blessed when we get an email from somebody that says, hey, how are things going in the Spanish ministry? We heard this in your newsletter. We've been praying for this. Any updates on that? And those are really beautiful emails to get at times and to be able to give reports and just to know people are kind of alongside us in those journeys, some of those pastoral concerns, some of those new initiatives. We really do covet the prayers of God's people in that way. So thank you for them. All right. Well, I'll stick around afterwards if you have any questions, but let me just pray for us as we close. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for these few minutes to be able to think about how you're at work in this world. Thank you for your love for the nations. Thank you for the neighborhoods that you put our churches in and the people that surround them. Thank you for where you place us in your providence too as families and individuals. And Lord, we pray that you'd continue to make your churches in Southern California bright lights for Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel that is going out to the nations. Thank you for your promise to build your church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And Lord, for how you use us, even though we're weak and frail and in our efforts, that you use us to bring glory to your name and continue to use us, Lord. Continue to build your church. Thank you for this church here in Santee and continue to make it a bright light for you. We thank you for the faithful ministry of the means of grace in this place. And we pray, Father, that you continue to add your blessing by the power of your spirit to all that is done here in Christ's name. Father, hear our prayers. Again, forgive our sins. Bless us in the remainder of this Lord's Day that you have given to us. May we enjoy it and enjoy the blessings that you pour out upon us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.